Welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. Today's guest is LL Briscoe, ladies love, Brian Scott. How are you?
Can we forget about that nickname?
Really?
There's only three ladies that matter.
Oh, it's
your, four. I forgot it? About my mom.
Oh, yeah. What about Jane?
I guess five.
What about all the ladies that are listening right now?
All right, ladies. Ladies love.
We're keeping it. It is your Instagram handle.
AIM.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah? How's everyone doing that's tuning in? Thank you for being here. Where are we joining you? We would love to see a picture. Wherever you are, that you tune in to the Live Beautifully podcast. Are you on a walk? Are you doing laundry? Lately, I've been listening to podcasts when I'm like cleaning and organizing. Brian's looking at me
so
like,
so you're not
when?
Listening to a lot of podcasts, are you? Look at this place.
Don't do me dirty like that.
You did get your birthday present was the, what are those called? Those Apple headphones?
Yeah, the
so
headphones.
Now you can like cruise around and listen.
You've
to
seen
it.
Me listening a few times and then yeah. Went for a walk.
I actually think you bought those so you could tune me out. Like half the time I'm like, babe.
Well, we haven't done a podcast in a minute together and we had a very busy August family time. What happened in August, babe?
What?
You don't remember?
Lots of things happened, but what most notably am I forgetting because you're looking at me like that?
Our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that was top of my mind. 10 years.
We went to Catalina Island, one of our favorite places, and we had a great weekend with the girls. If any of you ever want to go to Catalina, I will put together like a little travel guide sometime for Live Beautifully because it's this little hidden gem. If you've never seen it or heard of it, it is not overly developed. There's nothing, I don't think there's even like a 5-star hotel there. It's just very islandy and nothing too crazy. And it just feels good. It feels laid back.
It feels like an escape. And it feels, because we've been fortunate enough to go to like Italy, it's definitely got like that Amalfi Coast like vibe to it, yeah. Which is cool because like the mountains basically go right down into the water and we get to go. We took the girls out on these little motorized motorboats and kind of just did a little cruise around the harbor. One other thing that's funny is that I don't know if you realize this because you sit when you pee is every time I go upstairs in our bathroom, you have a photo with an article about Santa Catalina Island.
Yeah.
And I could probably recite the thing if I just needed to like brush up on it. And it just talks about the Wrigley family and like the whole history of it. There's a lot of history there.
And it's only like an hour, a ferry ride from Long Beach, but we love it. So we went there for our 10-year wedding anniversary and then also 20 years being together. Another thing that we should do is probably 20 years together podcast episode. Funny things that have happened and advice maybe.
That's going to be like a 8-hour episode. We're just going to do a quick recap of the last 20 plus years.
We could squeeze it in. And then another thing is that our daughter Isabel is now in big girl school. She's in TK. So that was a big transition.
For everybody.
Yeah. For everybody. She's loving it, but it has been a tough transition and it's been just a lot of change. She went from Montessori to more structure and I think that was really difficult, but she's really great and she has homework, which I feel like we have homework.
Every Monday morning we're like, what did we forget? Mad dash. I think that's when most parents and kids are doing their homework anyway.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you get to meet like an entirely new group of friends that are going to be part of your life pretty much for the next however many years.
I know. I was trying to do the math of, we're going to be with this group. We're like in this class of people. It's really, really exciting. And all the birthday parties.
All the birthday parties. There's a lot of birthday parties.
All these kids deserve a celebration.
They're all born.
So our schedule right now is, obviously crazy mad dash in the morning, getting Isabel to school, and then we work when she's at school, and then she gets out earlier than even what she was doing in, what was it called, preschool? I already forgot.
We have to rewind for 1 second and talk about the first 2 weeks of school where she's in this new school, and then they like kind of mention it, but don't, that they're done at 11:45 in the morning. And basically as a parent, your day is over at that point. Like, hey guys, you have 3 hours in the morning to do some things. Cat just listens to podcasts. Apparently it does the laundry during that 3 hour period.
But, I don't think we can't even get anything done. I think you can shower, maybe work out, and maybe go to the store. But if you go to the store, you're not showering. If you work out, you're not going to the store.
I like so the hard. Order that you just said that. You're like, take a shower, work out, go to the store. All in the wrong order. Okay.
You know I'm dyslexic.
And what are you buying at the store?
I just went to the store. I got hair toner. Still doing my hair.
Why did you have to get hair toner? Let's talk about this.
Because I put the wrong color toner in my hair, and my hair turned a little orangey, but it's okay.
That could be a podcast on its own, is like your hair.
It's disasters. And then once Bella's out of school, then it's even crazier. And I actually don't know how. I've asked myself this a lot lately. I don't know how people manage everything. And I'm having a hard time balancing everything. I feel like I keep trying to put together a schedule to stick to, but it's really hard. I don't know if any of you feel that way, but it's really difficult to have anything else going on other than raising children when you're raising children. It just seems like it's impossible to get anything done. And then when you're trying to get something done, when your kids are around, that's when you get impatient or frustrated. And then it's like, okay, I don't want to be like that. So then you just don't do anything. And then just parenting. It's hard.
Yeah, like 5 o'clock rolls around and you and I are always like, well, what do you want to do for dinner? And in the back of our mind, we're like, we're not going to Instacart or DoorDash again. But like that is like obviously the 5 o'clock and on after period is the other thing we're trying to do is digital. What is it called? What are we calling it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's something that we've actually started, which we highly recommend. From 6 to 8 o'clock, we try our best. This is a recent thing because we noticed that we were still trying to get some things done during that time, which is totally unfair to the kids. And it's not going to be efficient, or we're not actually going to get anything done if we try. But from 6 to 8, put the phones away, put the computers away, focus, you know, do the bedtime routines. And it goes obviously later than that. It takes about 45 minutes to, once Bella's like taking a bath, to actually like go through the process of putting her down.
So here's another,
a little easier.
A full other episode with, we would need like feedback from you ladies out there. What's the most efficient, like, dinner and bedtime routine? Because we are actually doing the least efficient thing. So Colette eats separate from everybody, but she eats with us more so than Bella does, who just grazes. And that's another podcast, diet for, like, little kids. How do you trick them into being healthy?
I'm actually going to bring on
a
child food expert.
We definitely need that. And then the bath thing, like, we don't put them both in there until recently at the same time. And we're trying to smush their schedules together to like not have to do everything twice. But we also don't want to be sort of like bossing them around during their like,
I know, everything that feel like it is a suggestion. Yeah. This is your strict schedule. I think making it fun. We try to make it fun when they take a bath together. And it is actually really nice that they can take a bath together now. They were like, look. And then Bella's like, no, and she runs around the house. But yeah, and then the weekend, sometimes we just have to divide and conquer because thankfully, but also this makes things difficult, is Colette still takes 2 naps a day. So we're kind of on lockdown.
Thank you, Colette. If you're listening out there, thank you. maybe consider adding a third nap.
But then you're also locked down. So I feel like when I'm doing birthday parties on the weekends, you're staying here.
There's a lot of people who, like, we've had separate interactions with who are actually, like, surprised when Colette is, like, out and about. They're like, oh, there she is. Wow, she's real.
I know. I mean, we definitely keep her on her strict routine here, that if Bella's going somewhere, like, that's, we're like, all right, well, you stay here with Colette and see you later. And I think we're not even in sports yet. I feel like once your kids are in sports, then you never see your spouse, your partner. What do you think is the most surprising thing that you've learned over the last 5 years of being a parent?
I think that there's like the whole nature versus nurture debate. Like you could try so hard to like do something that would, you know, maybe impact your child, but there's nature, I guess, working against you. And Bella, like she has her own path. So you just have to like encourage them and give them like the confidence mm-hmm. to do whatever they're going to do on that path. Because if you start trying to like create a path for them.
I love that. And I want to say that maybe in a different way too, that I've also learned. So I feel like I've learned the same thing that you're saying, but it's complete autonomy for your children. So and it's not something that I expected, but I never really thought about it. Our children did not choose to be here, and they owe us nothing. And they are born, and what we owe them is a safe place and to be their safety and a warm bed at night and all the tools that we can possibly provide them.
We owe Bella popsicles for yeah. breakfast. That's what we owe Bella. Like,
but I would say that, you know, our kids, they are their own people. And even if you try to give them any sort of, you know, direction, yes, they are going to make their own choices in life. And so giving them the freedom to do that and giving them freedom to mess up. I think at the end of the day, as long as we're always their safe place and we do give them the resources and the tools, like you're saying, they are going to develop into their own little people. Already Bella has her own personality and her own plan of the day and
sense of style.
Oh yeah, she picks out all her outfits. We don't even dress her or anything
her
anymore.
Body language too, like she's coming into her own, so like cute. Body language, yeah. Oh, she's hilarious.
That is a really cool thing to learn though and observe. I feel like we're just really lucky to be part of her life, even though she's in this house. I feel like it's Bella's world and we're just living it.
She's about to be in this house in 45 minutes.
Oh, so yeah, we got to go pick her up.
Let's get to it.
Okay. We also have your questions. We did a little Q&A, so thank you for sending those in. Today's episode of Live Beautifully is possible because of the Farmer's Dog. You've all heard me talk about them. They are amazing. Our dog Winston has been part of our family for 7 years now. You've probably seen him on Instagram or maybe in person. He was our firstborn. He's our little baby. He's the baby of the family still. It's so important that he stays as healthy as possible. So that means eating healthy food, and it's up to us to make sure that he has that. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it ultra processed food. So we decided to give him something fresh. He was also having a lot of digestive issues. And when we heard about Farmer's Dog, we said, all right, we'll give it a try. The Farmer's Dog made everything so much better, and he really, really looks forward to it. He gets so excited. It's real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies, gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. Just tell them about your dog, and they'll deliver personalized, vet-developed recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, conveniently delivered on your schedule. Dog parents all across the country have ordered millions of meals from the Farmer's Dog. They are so trusted, and it's never been easier to invest in your dog's health with fresh food. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/LBWKS. It's short for Live Beautifully with Katrina Scott, so you can remember. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/LBWKS to get 50% off, plus you'll get free shipping. That's thefarmersdog.com/LBWKS. I'll also include the link in the show notes. All right, let's keep going with the episode. And then this past weekend, I guess the final update is I turned 40. I'll do a little recap on this, maybe on livebeautifully.com, but I feel really good because I was actually talking this morning. I do a little run club in the morning with my friend Sarah on Mondays, and she was like, you know, what's your plan over the next few weeks? Thanksgiving's coming up and Christmas and this and that. I was like, I need to figure out my schedule because I want to make sure that we have, you know, all the activities for holidays. We create good memories and we have fun. And then we actually had the conversation then afterwards. I was like, you know, I didn't even realize that, but I need to create a work schedule so that way I can live. And it's so different than my 20s and 30s where I created a life schedule. I would live to work. And then now I just want to work to live. I want to be able to have a schedule so that way I can live life and do the things that really excite me as a family. And obviously I love work, but I think I used to work too much and then I wouldn't squeeze enough of the things that I wanted to do or had, like, I just never felt like I had time to do anything. I mean, I also think
having kids totally changed our perspective on work-life balance, because your work and your life, it's also sharing it with, you know, the little lives you brought into the world now. And they are all about balance, and they're very good at detecting when things are out of kind of whack.
The other thing too, without the kids, and this is something that I've learned, is time is so finite. And like, I think that when we didn't have kids, I felt like time was standing still and like we were going to be forever young. And then when you have kids, you realize how fast they're growing. And then you realize how long it's been since you've gone on a vacation. We just went away for one night for the first time that we've ever left the girls for one night by ourselves. We never went on trips or anything.
We left them with food and water, guys, just so you know.
We had a lot of sitters and a lot of neighbors. It was a whole community support so we could go away for one night, which was amazing. But yeah, you kind of realize how little you're doing in a big amount of time when it's flying by. But now with kids, I'm like, so this is actually something that we did this weekend, is that we created a little bucket list. And I said, I think all I really want to do today for my 40th is create a family fun bucket list over the next 10 years. And none of those things included work, because I know that we're going to do that and we love what we do and we love to work. But how are we going to fit in and prioritize the fun stuff? And that's something that all of you can do, is really sit down and make that plan, because we never used to plan anything. I mean, we planned a trip to Whistler for the first time and it was like we hadn't gone anywhere in maybe like 4 years, and we went to Whistler and
then we got a kid out of the deal.
Yeah.
Careful out there.
Guess we're never going away again.
Haven't skied since.
We have not skied since. It's true. But yeah, I think it would be fun to actually go skiing with the girls. We gotta get them on the slopes.
But one other thing, back to what you were just talking about, was having like traditions too. I think that that like gives a good like cadence. Your dad is really good about, you know, making sure all these traditions kind of, you know, help to like pace, you know, year after year, and there's some consistency. And I think, you know, for the girls, when it's consistent, things are nice and everything's running smoothly.
Yeah. So something about traditions too that I've learned is being really open to new traditions and change. And that's something that my parents have been really good at too. Even though we had traditions, my parents were always open to new things that we'd do together. And, you know, sometimes they would be like, do you want to invite a friend? Or we would change it up and we'd go somewhere else that summer. So I love traditions. This year we're changing up our Thanksgiving tradition, and that's really exciting too. So I think,
what are we doing? Plant-based turkey?
We are not. That would actually be really good. But
I'll be at a different house. You can bring a friend over and I'll go somewhere else. Mike, Katie, I'll be.
So 40, new chapter, and just making sure we have the fun times too. I think that's the main thing. And I just feel so blessed and grateful. That's all I feel. And just a little older in the soul. And my hip hurts today.
You were kind of limping around.
I was. I need my joints. I think I need to see a physical therapist. Mike, shout out to your brother. I need to go see him. All right, a little Q&A, and then we're going to go pick up Bella from school here. So Lori texted, and she said, hey, guys, how has the transition been from a family of 3 to 4? What's the best part?
It's definitely a transition. It's fun now that, you know, Colette's walking and she's got her own little personality. I like in the mornings when we all kind of like finally make our way upstairs and, you know, it's loud and everyone's kind of going crazy. Mom and dad are just trying to get a cup of coffee in. But I like that new morning routine. Like, whereas before, you know, even with one, it was more calm. Now with two, there is no calm, but it's just a different pace of morning routine. But that's my, right now, my favorite thing about having, you know, two kids is just, you know, there's like an on and on off button when they wake up, on. And then around 8:30, 9 o'clock sometimes even, yeah, that's finally off for Bella. And Colette, keep those naps going.
Yeah. Unlike Bella, Colette actually like gets into things. So Bella was very cautious and very careful.
Tactile, like so, yeah, good with her fingers and mm-hmm. didn't like messes.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even know where she got that. And then with Colette, we have to have our eyes on her all the time because she's climbing stuff. She's getting into things. Our chairs, they tip over if you get on them. So which I feel like we need new chairs that our kids
safe. We just need to screw our chairs to the floor.
Yes.
Eats, markers, all the caps to anything. The tough part is all the toys that Bella is into mm-hmm. now are like ages five, whatever, but they all have like these little choking hazards. So it's like, you know, mom and dad and everybody have to just kind of keep an eye out.
Yeah. Bella's really good about it though.
She is. She is. And she'll actually tell us when Colette's getting into something.
That's good. I love seeing Colette's personality. She's going to be so funny. She's so funny, you guys. She just runs around and she's cute, but
she's jolly too. I like, she's jolly little Colette.
Yeah. We haven't really seen her mad yet. Like she's happy to be here.
I took a piece of cheese away from her once. She was mad.
she is a little territorial about her snacks, but who isn't? All right. Nicole texted and she said, "Hi, we are starting IVF. They're in Florida. Any advice or encouraging words?"
Well, we're kind of sitting here as a success story. You might be able to hear Colette in the background chanting away. And if you're doing IVF, you know, sadly, you're probably doing it because you had some, you know,
difficulty
in the past. And we did. We had a lot of it. And, you know, it's pretty easy to kind of get down. But I think, you know, you and I were pretty good with, you know, when one's in the valley, the other's on the peak, you know, trying to make the other feel better. But it works. And I can't say it's fun.
I mean, sometimes it doesn't
work. Sometimes it doesn't work. And we've been very fortunate to be on the other side of that. You know, it's definitely tough for both the guy and the gal. Like, I was giving you these horrible shots, you know, for how many months on end? Like, it was just...
Can't even count.
That was tough. But at the end of the day, like, when you see we were in the room, like, watching that little screen when the transfer actually took place, like, that is the magic of just life and science, and it's just a different path to getting to, you know, the same kind of outcome. And Colette, you know, doesn't matter how she got here, she's here. And I'm so happy.
I think sometimes in our mind, we get an idea of what something should look like or could look like, and through IVF it really opened my eyes that you can have an outcome of love or growing your family, and it might not be how you expected. And so you can have expectations of life and people and things like that. We have no control, it feels, about, you know, fertility. And sometimes you're just really, really unlucky, and it's horrible. And when you go through loss, it's horrible, and you don't deserve it. We are very lucky that IVF worked. We were also open to other options if it didn't. It didn't mean that it wasn't painful. And it didn't mean that we weren't still sad that it didn't happen, I guess, the quote-unquote natural way. So you can still be really sad and have space for all the emotions of, you know, the loss, but then staying really open to those possibilities. I think having that at the same time is difficult, but so, so needed. And I think with anything, I have now had to come to terms with, like, being able to be okay with being sad that something doesn't work out the way that you want it to, but being open to the possibility or what could be. And you deserve to be happy and peaceful and have things in life that make you feel whole. And wholeness is so important. And so however you need to get there, you got this.
Well said.
Thank you. Love you. Okay. Next question is from, which by the way, Nicole, if you're listening, make sure you go listen to, we have a couple episodes on fertility. This question is from Lizette, and she said, are you happy you live in California? Do you ever miss New Hampshire? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there are a lot of great things about California. Like, right now, it's November, what is it, November 6th? Mm-hmm. And it's 78 degrees out, and it's wonderful. But you don't get many, like, seasons here. And I think for Kat and I growing up in New Hampshire, you definitely had four defined seasons. The snow season definitely lasted way too long, and it wasn't just, like, a little punctuation. So I don't miss, you know, shoveling snow, scraping the windshield, slushy and salty cars as, like, a car guy, like, cleaning up salt. Like, it's just, nah, I don't miss that at all. But, you know, the little bite in the air when fall comes around, going to Max Apples in, like, Londonderry, New Hampshire. Like, that was just such a tradition for both of our families. Back in the day, we didn't even know each other, but we were doing a lot of the same things. So, yeah, I definitely miss New Hampshire. And I think anyone, there's so many people that live in California that are from the East Coast. And, you know, it, one way or another, they all have kind of, like, said the same thing. You know, it's nice having the sun out, you know, 300 days a year, but there is something to be said about change and cycles and seasons. So
no one enjoys the sun more than people that have snow and colder seasons. I miss the way that they, especially East Coast, we didn't live in the Midwest, but I'm sure I'm talking for all places that even get too hot or anything, when the weather comes, especially in Boston, and it's beautiful and it's summer, that is the boat life there, the soaking in that weather, that there is a buzz in Boston in the city that's so beautiful. And we've been in Chicago when that's happening. That's what I miss.
It's funny though, when it'll still be kind of cold, but people are like, tank tops, season, it's 55 out, you know, the wind is not coming off, you know, the lake in Chicago anymore, you know, let's go play some volleyball.
On campus, we'd be wearing like shorts, like Abercrombie shorts.
No, and you like had the shorts tops. That just said Malibu on the butt. You were like, I'm going to California someday. Manifesting, there we go.
But then we were wearing like hats and Ugg boots. We're like, we are enjoying this 50 degree weather. But I think that that's something that I miss weather-wise. I obviously miss our friends that we grew up with. Thankfully, our families have moved out here. And so if our brothers hadn't moved out, I don't know if we would have, maybe when we had kids, we would have moved back. But now that our families are here, we're very much staying. But I love New Hampshire, and I was there this summer, and there's just something so special about it. Okay. Let me see here. Danielle, what are some of your hobbies? How do you get into new things midlife?
Here you go.
Midlife, honey. We're there.
I'm not midlife. I'm living at 93 years old. I'm not even halfway there.
I feel like I'm still discovering what I like. And what I'm liking more is listening to podcasts and books. I don't know if that's necessarily a hobby, but I do like learning from other people, learning new things. I think that especially as an entrepreneur, you get such tunnel vision that you start working towards a goal that you don't really have time other than what you're doing. And so I've enjoyed really learning from other people. It's really nice. I don't think I have any other new hobbies. I want to start playing tennis again, but I've been saying that for too long. I need to.
Well, yeah, with that hip. Turns 40, hip.
Actually, maybe I'll just do pickleball so I don't have to run around the court too much.
Oh, boy.
What are your hobbies, babe?
I'd say lately, like, it's probably almost more than a hobby, but, like, the whole vintage car thing. Got into that sort of by accident. We bought that Ford Bronco years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And when we had Bella, we're like, oh, this isn't safe. We're going to, you know, we're going to sell this thing. And we sold it. And that kind of got my attention and said, hey, let's, you know, just always have one of these things around that we're working on. And, you know, got pretty good at doing that. And the cool thing about vintage cars is that you really only need a screwdriver and a ratchet set and usually a friend who knows what they're doing, or YouTube. Shout out to YouTube, by the way. Hey, YouTube, so many.
If you're listening.
Yeah, YouTube. Hey, Sergey. Sergey. Shout out to YouTube, because I watch so many, like, how to. Yes. That's the first place. I don't go to Google anymore because I'm like, I don't want to read. I want to see how it's done. And that's just like how both of us are, I would say, is like very visual.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of tutorials, and I've saved a lot of time and frustration by just doing things myself, but you have to just be willing to learn. And I guess back to this question, like, you always have to be willing to keep learning new things. Mm-hmm. And through that pursuit, you're going to find new hobbies that you may not have ever thought you'd, you know, like or enjoy.
Who is helping you screw in the back panel this weekend?
We talking about your birthday? What are we talking? Screwing in back panels? What the heck are you talking about?
On Friday before we left, I was helping you with the car.
Kat was helping me install the tailgate on the back of a 1968.
The back panel? What
the
is
back
it called?
Panel. Yeah, the back door of the Bronco.
I don't know what anything's called. You do have it down, though. Like, you know where to go for the best seats for Broncos. You know where to find all the right parts. And I think you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
And it's so cute, too, because you bring Bella now to the vintage
cars and coffee.
Yeah, cars and coffee, vintage car shows, and she loves it. It's so cute.
Yeah, so last weekend was awesome just because the Bronco that we have is teal. So we brought it there, and it just so happened that we parked next to like five other really cool teal cars, and Bella thought that was the coolest thing, and she wanted pictures taken in the whole nine yards.
I like your hobby. It's so good. And the girls like it too. This is crazy. The first time that he got a Bronco, I was on my way to yoga training. I was doing like a course, and I took a picture of a Bronco that was for sale in Venice Beach. And Valentine's Day was coming up, and he knew that I loved Broncos, and he brought me down to the garage, and it was in the garage, and we figured out it was the same Bronco that I had taken a picture of.
Yeah.
See, I'm manifesting stuff. Yeah. Malibuti. All right. This is from Brooke, and she said, what do you have planned for the Live Beautifully show on YouTube? Congrats. Lots of things. So I've been wanting to bring Live Beautifully to YouTube for a while, but as many of you know, it's a big commitment, and I really wanted to do it once a week, and so I was just waiting for the right time, especially getting Bella into her routine with school and learning our new routine as a family. What I'm really excited about is bringing a podcast guest, so you can come over and you feel like you're in our home with the podcast guest, and we're just talking on the sofa, and it felt more personable than even what Brian and I are doing right now. We're just sitting with mics on our and headphones on our ears.
Yeah, video, but the pressure's on, because Kat and I, we don't even have clothes on right now, but none of you know that. Get on YouTube, it's a different story.
So I really want to bring those podcast episodes into your home as well, like that. And then sometimes it will be crafts for the holidays, which I absolutely love. I love tablescapes, celebrating milestones, DIY things. And I asked Brian if he can even show us some DIY projects in the house. If any of you want to know how to upgrade a Bronco, maybe I can show you
one
how to put a back panel on.
One that I think a lot of you would like to see is actually how to like do a basic, very easy tile replacement or installation.
Yes.
It's so, I think tiles, like, even for me, it was a very like intimidating thing to get into. And, you know, back to YouTube, I watched a lot of how to's and talked to my dad a bunch of times. And then you just have to kind of like take the leap. And I think that, you know, Live Beautifully is going to also become a place for people that want to know how to do something like the tablescape that we're getting ready to film. I think that's going to be awesome. But a lot of people are looking for that right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to upgrade their backsplash or their bathroom or their fireplace, and doing tile work is actually, it's so easy for me. I just watch you do it.
Well, no, you just have to be patient. Like my dad was like, you cannot rush a tile job. And if you do, like, it ain't going to lie when you're done. Like, you'll see it. So you have to just think, you know, common cliche, but like measure twice, cut once. It's like with tile, it's like literally measure it like 10 times and cut once.
You've seen like girl measuring where we just measure with our
eyeball
arms.
Eyeball it with your thumb.
Yeah. But yeah, so DIY projects, learning how to cook, which I've always wanted to learn more in the kitchen. And so that was something that my neighbor was like, how about we do an episode? And she's a chef and she can teach us things. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And just, you know, living beautifully at home, but then also those inspiring stories from guests, just like Sarah Barron, who just came on, and she is living beautifully after surviving a cancer diagnosis. And I think I want it to feel full lifestyle, things that you love to do or want to do, and we're figuring it out together. And I can't wait to have fun. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And tomorrow we're filming. So we're recording, actually tomorrow is the dried fruit garland, which I've never done, and I've always wanted to do it, so we're going to do it together.
I feel like we got to hide that, though, because if Bella sees, like, the dried fruit, she's just going to...
Colette's going to eat it.
Well, Colette will eat it. Bella will, like, make something with it. She's so creative.
Aw, well, I'll just give it to her to make something out of it after. Okay. Two more questions. This one is Michaela, and she said, what's the best advice anyone has ever given to you? I feel like this is so hard, but a couple things that I always think about, I think about it often, and it's two different things. One from my mom, and my mom is very entrepreneurial, and she's very spontaneous, and she's always been really excited to try new things. And I admire that a lot about her, of her ability to, you know, try new things and being okay with, you know, if you try something new and you don't like it, then that's okay. And you can try something different. And I think that that applies to even that hobbies, discovering new parts of yourself. Is the hard part is that you don't want to try something. And then what if you don't like it? That's okay. And you don't know unless you try. But my mom always said, you know, if you're doing something, make sure you're having fun, because life is, it's really long and we have so much time, but make sure you're having fun. And she has always said that in some way. She's like, if you're not having fun, don't do it, which I know is really hard because we get into different things that, you know, we have to do and we have responsibilities. But I love seeing people enjoy their work, no matter what that job is, and really making it fun. And sometimes it's really hard to do that, but that's something that I think about often, because sometimes things aren't so great. But I'm always like, okay, how can I make this fun? And how can I make it fun for everyone around me too? And then I would say the best advice that my dad has given to me that I'm pretty sure I've shared this on the podcast. He also did a Thanksgiving episode with us, which is really great. But you are the best at what you do. So you right now, listening wherever you are the best at what you do. And trusting yourself and your own ability is really important. And if anything comes in and doubts your ability, just try hard to not let that come in. And really just stand strong in who you are and your values and never forget that. And he always says that when I'm starting to doubt myself. And he's like, you gotta trust yourself. And even when he was teaching me how to water ski when we were in the lake, and it was like the most important thing to me at that time was getting up on water skis. And he was like, trust yourself. You can do this. You can stand up. You can get up and you can stay up there. And when you fall, we'll just try again. And now it applies to so many different things. And he actually reminds me of water skiing. And that's actually, even as a parent now, I'm like, the biggest thing for these kids is that baseball game or that soccer game or even getting through their homework. And just knowing that even if they're so frustrated or they're so sad that something doesn't work out, that's the most important thing to them in that moment. And so instead of saying, it's not that big of a deal, or, you know, it's fine, or things like that, is really just validating how they're feeling. And I think that has helped later on in life. Getting through the tough stuff is kind of like falling down on water skis and just knowing you can get back up. Thanks, Dad. Brian's looking at me and he says that he needs longer to think about it. So we'll do a part two.
I did hear a good quote this week.
Ooh.
When I think I mentioned it too, but it was, all data comes from the same place, the past. So, you know, a lot of people, they look to the data before they like make a move, but what if that it hasn't been done before? What if like you've never done it yourself? So back to what Kat's talking about with her dad and just being confident like in your abilities. Sometimes there is no data to support the decision you're about to make, but you have to be confident in your abilities and you have to be okay taking a little bit of a risk, which I think isn't easy sometimes, especially as you get older with, you know, responsibilities and, you know, the family. But yeah, I thought that was a notable quote. I can't tell you who said it, but that stuck with me.
The best innovators and visionaries in our time, and not even of our time, in history, did not have any data to support what they did. And they changed the world. And you can change, no matter how big or small it is, you can change your small world, your one at home, into something that is great. And you don't have to look at the past and use your past as a calculation of, you know, I think, yeah, we get so down to, well, this happened before, this may happen in the future. That's all anxiety playing out a scenario that we actually don't know if it's going to happen or not. Just know who you are. I love that. Okay, final question, and we're going to get, oh, we got to get Bella in 9 minutes. Okay, here we go. This is from Lindsay, and she's in Utah, and she said, hi, Katrine and Brian. I've been following you both for years. Thanks for all that you share. Could you share how you connect with each other? My husband and I are on autopilot, and I feel like we haven't been able to get out of our chaos of parenting and work. It's hard. I get it. We get it. We've gone through so many different seasons of autopilot. We've gone through seasons of not sleeping, or one of us is sleeping, the other one is waking the other one up with anxiety and, hey, what about this? Or, you know, you get into so many different things in your lifetime. And as a couple, kind of like what Brian was saying earlier, it's like being at the, if, whether you're at the peak or the valley or pulling the other one up, is that you have to pull each other up if one of you is down. And if you're both down, checking in with each other, the number one thing that you should care about when in any relationship is each other's mental and physical health. Brian and I have been checking in with each other, and we've been like, okay, do you need to work out? And especially as a parent, when do you work out as a parent? He actually said, he's like, we got to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning if we want to work out, which I don't know how we would do that either because we're up pretty late. So, you know, it's hard. And so sometimes it's a juggling act. And then sometimes it comes down to communicating and then checking in and not projecting your own stress. So checking in with each other with the intent to just listen and say, hey, I just wanted to check in and see how you're doing. And if there's anything that I can make your life easier, even if you're in the same life together, like you're building a life together, but checking in and seeing if there's anything they may not even know in that moment. And they might actually come back and be like, hey, yeah, I could really use like a date night to connect with you. Or, yeah, actually, this night of the week, I have a hard time doing these things, you know, for the next day. And I would love help with that. And you just never know. But I do feel like connecting with each other is first. It comes down to checking in first and seeing how you're doing, what you need in the relationship. You needed a night away. You're like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, let's go to Malibu in the mountains and sit with and just listen to trees.
I do think you can connect as a couple though, even with your kids like there. We haven't really done it yet because Colette's not old enough, but I think it'll be a lot of fun to do like game night or something where you just see how much like joy they're getting and it will connect you.
Yeah. Actually, when you and I dance in the kitchen, the girls join us. And that is connecting. making each other coffee in the morning and hugging and connecting in that way. It's the little things too.
It's funny how Colette's like mimicking and like copying us now. Like if we like give each other a little kiss, she'll like come over and want to like do the same thing.
Yeah. It's really sweet. Yeah, the little connection throughout the day. I saw this the other day and it was like what you want in a relationship, giving that first, not to end up receiving it, but being the person that you need. It starts with you, and it may just take time. And everyone has different love languages too. You know, if you make coffee and give your partner a hug and a kiss in the morning, they may not do that too. Sometimes you have to ask for it if you want it, but it might come in a different form at a different time. But prioritizing connection and time together is really important. And finding a good babysitter that you trust and multiple neighbors that know and backup plans. We got to get Bella. Thank you everyone for joining us on the Live Beautifully podcast. We love you so, so much. You can text us anytime. I'll put my phone number in the show notes. Start your text with the letters AMA for a Q&A, and we'll do this again.
What's for dinner tonight? That's my AMA question.
Turkey and some kind of vegetable in a pot mushed around by you.
There you go.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for being here, honey. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.